testing the spirits. Of course, John, and I want to talk to you tonight as a pastor to the people, something that really has always been on my heart. And, you know, we talk a lot about what's going on in the world, but it's supposed to. They're acting natural. We know what's going to happen. But what concerns me more as a Christian and as a pastor is what's going on in the church and the great falling away. And, of course, we believe in the doctrine of eternal security. Those who profess Christ are so-called Christians, and they're not going to last in hard times, but true believers will. But it burdens my heart tonight to see what's going on in the name of Christ and what people are falling for and how gullible they are. And after John contrasts the children of God and the children of the devil, he now contrasting teachers and false teachers, their teachings. Those are the spirit of God and those are the spirit of Satan. Evil spirits and seducing spirits are behind false teachers and their doctrine, and the spirit of God is behind those who teach the Bible. And these type of people are to be taken seriously and addressed firmly. We don't lallygag around with them. We address the issue firmly. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So anytime you hear anybody or listen to anybody and it's not coming out of the Bible, it's coming from the evil spirits. And Satan wants to oppose God. He wants to oppose the church. He wants to hinder the church. And his methods are direct sometimes. Sometimes they're subtle. He comes as a roaring lion sometimes. Sometimes he comes as an angel of light. He masquerades his lies wrapped in truth. So believers have the word of God. They have the word of truth, the spirit of truth. And we can discern whether these things are so. We can detect true and false doctrine. We can detect what is the work of God and what is the work of Satan. Because he's given us the Holy One. He's given us the unction to teach us these things. Now John in our text in 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 6, gives us three tests to determine whether a teacher or a movement or a man is from the spirit of God or from the spirit of error. Now, I've shared with you before some tests that we need to apply to anything we hear or see or is who do they say Jesus is? How is a person saved? What is their source of authority? And do they call for repentance and holiness? But tonight, in verses 1 through 6, we're just going to center around Jesus because it all starts and ends with Jesus. I don't care what they're right about. If they're wrong about Jesus, they're wrong about everything, right? And they can have good commercials on TV and they can do this and that, but they're wrong about Jesus. So it all centers around Jesus. So don't be afraid to ask that, okay? First test we see is, what do they teach about Jesus in verses 2 and 3? Now let's notice that text tonight. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Well, go back to verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. That tells us that there are other spirits besides the Holy Spirit, right? Try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And John told us that in chapter 2. Hereby know you the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh is of God. That is the big test. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So the first test is, really, what do they believe and what do they teach about Jesus? Do they exalt Jesus Christ? What a teacher says about Christ must be the same thing that the Scripture says. Confess means to say the same thing, to agree with what God has said in His Word about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus is God come in the flesh. He is God incarnate. Now go back with me to chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And great tells us right here. That which from the beginning we have heard and we have seen with our eyes. Remember, they thought Jesus' spirituality or salvation was by knowledge. They didn't believe in the humanity of Jesus. So John goes right after the false teachers right away. He said, we seen him, we touched him. We looked upon him with our hands and handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and showed to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's the first test. What do they say about Jesus? If they say anything other than the fact that Jesus is the eternal Christ, not that he became God in a manger, he was God. He existed before the manger. He was his eternality. The eternal Christ came from the Father in human flesh, was born by a virgin. He lived a sinless life, manifested as the second person of the Trinity. He came to die in our place for our sins and redeem all who would believe. He rose bodily from the grave on the third day, and he ascended to the Father's right hand. That is the Jesus of the Scripture. Amen? So what one says about Jesus is the litmus test of what they claim to profess. We hear a lot about litmus tests now with the Supreme Court nominee. The Democrats say that the litmus test is what do they believe about abortion. And that's sad, isn't it, when we reach that point in our nation, right? Now, the litmus test, real litmus test, is what do they say about Jesus, right? In a compromising evangelical realm, it has become politically correct to say that all religions worship the same God. Jesus is not the only way. Any such teaching is of the spirit of the Antichrist, chapter 2, verse 18 and 22. False teachers will be in error concerning his birth, his blood, the Bible, and the blessed hope. Before you can apply this litmus test, you've got to know the Scriptures yourself, right? You got to know what the Scripture says. So if you're going to agree about who Jesus is, you need to know what the Bible says and what the Bible says about him. So that's the first test. Any man, any movement, any preacher you hear, you see, you hear on the radio, you get tapes, whatever. You listen to them on your phone. What do they believe and teach about Jesus? That's it. There's a second test found in verse 4 and 5. Are they popular with the world? We're talking about teachers. Are they popular with the world? In other words, do they oppose the work of Satan? Look in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they unto the world. Now he's talking about false teachers here. And that he that is in, they are of the world, therefore speak they unto the world, and the world heareth them. You can know a lot about a man and his preaching and his teaching and his ministry by who listens to him. Okay? All right, now let that sink in just a moment. Now, are they popular with the world? The believer has security against false teachers. We see that in verse 4. The Bible says you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. He said in chapter 2, the unction, the anointing that teaches us all things. We have a teacher within us, and we can detect false teaching. All true Christians possess the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 25. And no satanic deception can take them out of God's saving hand. John chapter 10, verse 28 through 29. Those truly saved have been given the ability to understand truth and to love it. They have been given a discernment that protects them from the spirit of apostasy. False teachers are of the world, and the world hears them, in verse 5. Now, there's a great difference, if you will, with a great teacher being popular with believers and a teacher being popular with unbelievers. If the world likes the preacher, then we got a problem, right? The world sings his praises and gives him acclaim and approval. The world recognizes its own. In fact, Paul told Timothy this, in the last days they will heap teachers to themselves, talking about the people that tickle their ears or scratch the itch of their ears and what they want to hear. So it's not so much that the man makes the the audience, it's that the audience makes the man, right? They'll populate to themselves people that will tickle their ears. So that's how we tell between those who are of God and those that are not. Those truly saved have been given the ability to understand truth and to love it. And false teachers are of the world, and the world hears them. Number three, do y'all see the simple test so far? What do they teach and believe about Jesus? Secondly, are they popular with the world? And thirdly, do they point people to the scriptures? We have so many so-called churches today that don't even open the Bible on Sunday. Y'all been in some of them, right? Well, some of y'all have. I was listening to Ed Young this afternoon in Houston, and he was talking about a friend of his went to a liberal church, and they had a sign at the church that says, "We are all children of God." And the man was an evangelical Christian. He was just visiting with them, and he called one of them to the side and says, "Let me ask you a question. Do you know what the rest of that verse says?" And what the rest of the verse says, we are all children of God who have come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a qualifier. Not everybody in the world is a child of God. Only those who have repented their sins and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. But a lot of liberal churches are being deceived. They want to major on loving people, and that's good. We ought to have a balance there. And throw doctrine out the window because doctrine divides. You know, I visited with a church like that one time when I was in between pastorates. And they were making baptism optional. I went home and wrote them a 5-page letter about why baptism was not optional. And you know what? Even in their ignorance, they changed their attitude. And they began to require immersion. But they go on and they don't major on scriptures. Every Sunday, the preacher will say, "Open your Bible, or hold your Bible up. This is my Bible. I love it. I'm going to worship. I mean, I believe it's true." And then put it down. Don't even preach out of it. Right? And it's so sad. The true teacher must believe the Bible and have a desire to explain the Bible to the people. The teacher and his teachings will draw people to love and search the scriptures. That's what I want. I don't spoon feed everybody. I want you to be stirred to study the Bible for yourself, right? And you're not going to get enough just from me on Sundays to maintain your sustenance that you need. You got to get into the Bible yourselves. You got to really accept the fact that this book is the inspired, infallible, inerrant source of authority for faith and practice, right? So the teacher exalts the scriptures. He exalts the scriptures over experience, over opinions, and over new revelation. They are drawn to the gospel truths, see, in the Bible. Notice verse 6. The false teachers lead many people away from the scriptures. Look in verse 6 again. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Pointing people to the scriptures. That's why what I liked about Billy Graham so much. When he would preach, he said, "What does the Bible say?" Right? Not what I think it says, not what you may think it says, or not what I'm saying to you, but what does the Bible say? Pointing people to the scriptures. The emerging church, which is kind of going off the scene today, they had a thing about there is no absolute truth, and we can't know it anyway, so don't waste your time trying to find it. We're developing as we go. Emerging church. And they're kind of going by the wayside now. They draw people to entertainment. Sensationalism, whoever has the best act that Sunday, that's where we're going. Y'all seen people like this, right? Prosperity, health and prosperity gospel. Political correctness and tolerance. Well, I do believe that the church ought to be tolerant, but not tolerant of error, right? And we're never to be tolerant of evil that the Bible talks about. So these tests are enough to discern between the true and the false, right? What do they teach and believe about Jesus? Number two, Charlie, can you help, please? And number two, are they popular with the world? We're talking about discerning from a Bible teacher or a preacher. Are they of God or not? Are they popular with the world? There's a man right now, in fact, there's two of them that I can think of right off my bat. Jeffries in Dallas, First Baptist Dallas. He takes a lot of heat from the world because he don't mix no punches, right? And I think of Franklin Graham. He takes a lot of slack from the world too. In fact, he was supposed to go to London, I believe it was, or somewhere over there, and all that movement and how they acted with Trump and all that, and the people in London canceled him. You know, they don't want to hear truth, you know. And so, but you can get some of our false teachers, our prosperity gospel over there, and they'll go flock and see them. Are you with me? So, what do they teach and believe about Jesus? Are they popular with the world? And do they point people to the scriptures? Right? This is why when I get up here every Sunday, Brother Ray, other teachers, John, Inez, Faye, Wanda, they open the Bible. What does the Bible say? Right? That is our source of authority. Now, again, you can apply this to any man, any movement. You know, I've made a lot of enemies over the years because they'll ask me, people out there on the street, they'll ask me, what do you think about this teacher? And I just have to tell them the truth, you know. And they think I'm an old fuddy-duddy right-wing bigot who actually believes there's only one way to heaven and that there's only one absolute truth. And so you don't make no friends like that when you stand up for the truth, right? And so whatever it is, we can discern. God has given us the principles of chapter 4, 1 through 6, and the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us. And that's the main purpose, is that he may teach us all things, right? And guide us from error. Father, I pray tonight, as we look at this text tonight, what a wonderful text. What an admonition to the church today. No invitation. What an admonition to the church today to test the spirits. There's more than one spirit. And just because it might be supernatural don't mean it's from God. A lot of paranormal stuff going on today, a lot of witchcraft, a lot of this, a lot of that. And the world is being deceived because they cannot test. They cannot put these things to the test using the scriptures. And therefore, they're following a lie. And Father, I pray tonight that you reiterate in us to be people of the book, to follow the book. And we ask these things tonight in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.